I'll say a few words before guiding us sit, and yeah, you can just take it in whatever way. Maybe it fits right into the guided sit. Before joining the call, I was having the sense of that meditation is, it's so many things. There's so many ways that goodness accrues on this path. So meditation is a way of deeply resting, of taking refuge, of letting go of vigilance, finding shelter. It is a way of understanding ourselves, our personalities, our habits more and more deeply. It is a cultivation of many different aspects of the heart. Yeah, of these very beautiful qualities of the heart that can be obscured by our entanglement with dukkha, with suffering. And meditation is a clarification. It helps us actually clarify, meaning have a higher resolution picture of our inner life. It helps us distinguish between this most fundamental distinction on this path between suffering and freedom, suffering in the absence of suffering. It helps us distinguish between a pleasure and satisfaction. There's so much that we learn, that we can learn about experience. Meditation helps us develop steadiness, samadhi, concentration, the gathering, the unification of the mind, the kind of healing relief that comes with that. Meditation also shows us what we're obsessed with, right? And so we plant that flag at the breath or the body or sound or somewhere. There's some kind of meditation anchor often, and then we get to see all the places we venture out to look for safety or security or pleasure. It is a path of letting go. It shows us how to let go, what's left in the wake of letting go. Meditation is a path of habituating to the compulsive forces of dukkha within us, the ways in which we are compelled by the forces of suffering, by greed, hatred, delusion. And meditation exposes our heart to all of that such that we become desensitized to them. Their impelling force does not act on our heart in the same way. We are, in other words, less intimidated by the forces of suffering within us and don't act out their dictates in the same way. Meditation is an exploration of what it feels like to be a person, to be me, to have an identity. Meditation is simply the practice of renunciation, of discipline, developing tolerance, nothing more than that. Meditation is an encounter with our mortality and the changingness, the inevitability of loss. Meditation is a way of practicing freedom, literally practicing it, as one might practice a jump shot in basketball. We're practicing freedom, experimenting. So meditation is all of these things and more. And in considering that, then the question arose for me, how on earth do I guide this sit? Yeah. The answer to that is I don't know, but much of the goodness of what I'm charting out here unfolds no matter what technique we're practicing. And we don't have to do all of this ourselves. We don't have to do this to our experience. We just do the practice with our full heart, with our sincerity, and the goodness accrues on its own. We let time be our ally, as one of my teachers says. So finding a way of posture that feels sustainable. Maybe you're already there. Maybe there's a subtle adjustment that feels right. So we settle into stillness and quiet. We just look, what are the connotations of silence for you right now? How does it feel to settle in? What inside you feels free? And what is bracing? Just relaxing whatever can be relaxed. The area around the eyes, your jaw. Letting your whole face be soft. We're so identified with our face. But it's just another part of the body. It can be relaxed. Your shoulders just hang loosely. bring some love to your belly. Any tension, self-consciousness, just let it drain down, soften your belly. These subtle currents of clinging that kind of sneak in the back door. We relax something, and then clinging sneaks in. And we're not trying to banish all tension. Whatever tension remains, just allow it to remain. But to let go is to make a kind of peace with the imperfection of the moment. From the basis of that truce, we can practice Amidst this relaxation, this surrender, this willingness to feel, this truce with the human condition, we feel our body. The buzzing and the blooming, the collapsing of sensations, this field of body sensations. For these minutes, we hold that field in awareness. Sometimes it seems like the field of sensation arises within the space of awareness. Sometimes it seems like we pour the awareness into the sensation. Just gently maintaining intimacy with the field of sensation. within the field of body sensations. Sometimes the sensations of breathing become prominent. The enlivening effect of the inhale the ripple of soothing sensation on the exhale. Often skillful to find a place to anchor the attention, maybe the sensations at the mouth or nostrils, the rise and fall of your belly. Maybe you anchor the attention on the whole body, the sensations of breathing, detectable across the whole body. We just gently offer our attention, not as a kind of transaction. We just offer up our attention in that attention we express our care for our life all the facts of your life. Just a footnote on this moment. We make our heart mind available to the sensations of breathing, the basic aliveness this moment. So thank you. It's good to sit with you. So so this is the first full day of retreat, and it is probably good to not come to any grand conclusions about your prospects on this path on this first day. Yeah. It's not to be dismissive of the opportunity, of a day of practice, but just to know that the energies are working through body and mind, and to be patient and to keep going and be gentle with yourself. And if you find that at some point you sort of do the math of you take one moment out of this day and then multiply it by 7 days or something, that's a trap. Yeah, so just everything changes. So a few words about walking practice. First is to say that if you have an injury or some mobility limitations, what I'm sharing could be done easily in a seated posture or laying down with gestures, just using one's hands, something like this. But the idea is that we are building continuity of mindfulness, and matters less whether we're sitting or walking. The idea is that we're building continuity. The way Sayadaw Tejaniya said that we're building continuity because for the same reason that we don't skip the even numbered chapters in a book, we want to actually see the unfolding of suffering, of ease, of clinging, of freedom. We want to actually be present to see the mechanisms of our involvement in dukkha and the ways in which the house of cards of dukkha can collapse. Yeah. And so we build a measure of continuity, and this is walking practice is important in this. And the basic principles are the same qualities of attention, of care, of being careful with our mind. This animates the walking practice in the same way as the sitting. And so generally the suggestion would be to find a place to walk that's simple, that keeps some sense of the kind of coziness of which we're speaking, some sense of containment. And you can find a pace to walk at that feels supportive for mindfulness. That's likely to change over the course of the week. But we just give ourselves over to the sensations of walking. And the difference insofar as we are moving and our eyes are open, this for many people will mean that there's the kind of associative loops of thinking are sort of waiting for a moment for mindfulness to collapse. And there's something about even just the simple visual field of just seeing that generates an incredible amount of papancha, of proliferative thought. And so we really practice, sometimes the instruction is something like the sensations in your feet. Sometimes I'll get even more narrow and just be focused on one toe or something like this. But I'm just anchoring the attention very clearly. And it can be humbling, you know, to see how the mechanisms of our associative thinking. It can be humbling to see how easily we get bored. But Stephen Levine said, if you can't be bored, you can't be Buddhist, something like that. Yeah. Meaning part of what we are doing is learning about our hunger for stimulation. That kind of sometimes feels like a bottomless kind of longing for something for the mind to satiate the mind, some little snack of stimulation. Yeah. And normally when we have that kind of hunger, we reach out for something, for more stimulation. In our practice, we reach down more deeply into our feet, the sensations of movement. And maybe the last thing I'll say is that, and we'll share more instructions over the course of the week, but the last thing to say is that the barometer that we use for how our practice is going is often what's the level of activity at the surface of our mind, or how pleasant or unpleasant is this, how engaged or how bored. And those are not such helpful barometers. Yeah, we actually, there's something about just willing to do the practice, just to surrender one's heart to the practice. And, you know, it said the proximate cause of mindfulness is another moment of mindfulness. Yeah, so the way we actually develop this kind of momentum of our practice is we just the proximate cause is another moment of mindfulness. We just try to nurture that that continuity. And then we come back and we see what's here. So offer that for your consideration. So about a third of the full retreatants will have group meetings today, either in about 6 minutes or at 11 o'clock. And so check the schedule for that. And those meetings will happen in a separate Zoom room. So almost everything is here, but those small group meetings will, with either Gil or myself, will be in a different room. So we'll convene, some of you will convene in about 5 minutes for that. And there are signups with Inez that are, the link is available in the main retreat form. And yeah, May we enjoy the good fortune of our lives somehow running into this path of practice. That's quite fortunate, really. Yeah. I'm grateful to be with you.